Good morning, everyone. This is Karen Medina reading the Vermilion County Commercial News for Monday, February 13th, 2017, and the entire weekend of the 11th through the 13th. It's a beautiful day. Big winners, local video game revenues continue to rise by Jennifer Bailey, February 12th, 2017. Danville. In 2016, there's a big picture with, it says Ron Sutton of Bismarck plays a slot machine at Dale's Place recently. In 2016, Danville saw $254,259 as its share of video gaming terminal revenues. In 2016, $62.4 million was played at the machines and $57.3 million was won. The state's share from Danville's machines was $1.27 million. The revenue came from 143 terminals with the monthly fluctuating number of 111 to 134 terminals in the city at 35 different establishments. This compares to the city's $1,548 share of revenue from five terminals at one establishment 5 years ago. The Illinois Video Gaming Act allows up to five licensed video gaming machines at an establishment. The machines can be installed in establishments where liquor is served for consumption on-site, as well as licensed fraternal establishments, veterans organizations, and truck stops. The number of video gaming machines fluctuates monthly in the city because some can be added, and the state can take machines away if they don't meet minimum revenue and play. Mayor Scott Eisenhower said, adding that machines have been taken away from the Danville Country Club, Elks, and other locations. While the revenue has helped with city operations, Eisenhower would rather see a riverboat casino here. Also in comparison, when the city's off-track betting parlor off Lynch Road closed in 2007, the city and the county lost about $70,000 each annually. The OTB had taken in about $7 million in wagers a year. The city had $5 million played just in December with the video gaming terminals. Some might say it's ironic how Eisenhower had favored restrictions on video gaming in the city, but is for a riverboat casino here. The city doesn't allow video gaming cafes like coffee shops where most of the revenue would come from gaming. They would fail under the city's liquor license requirements of having at least 60% of the revenue from food sales, he said. Several other cities have adopted a liquor ordinance or created a license to address these video gaming cafes, but Eisenhower has been hesitant because of the impact on existing businesses and social organizations and those surviving with money from video gaming machines. A casino would bring far more economic development opportunities to the city and more jobs, Eisenhower said. Video gaming doesn't help with either economic or job growth, he said. So there's a huge difference between the two, he said. The city's food and beverage tax revenue is up, which could partially be due to video gaming, but it's not a significant impact, Eisenhower said. The city also hasn't seen an impact on crime with more video gaming machines. Eisenhower said the machines are being located in existing businesses with liquor licenses that normally don't have problems. There's certainly the opportunity for video gaming to expand in 2017, Eisenhower said, such as with additional downtown bars opening. More slots could come to the city this year with two Class A bar liquor licenses available if any more existing restaurants with liquor licenses would add them. As video gaming has expanded, it's become more of a barrier to gambling expansion in legislators approving a casino license for Danville. The City Council in 2007 approved a resolution urging Illinois General Assembly members proposing an expansion of gaming licenses to include one license to the Danville area. A report from about 10 years ago initially put potential casino numbers here at $11 to $14 million in annual tax revenue, 800 construction jobs, about 750 jobs with the casino, and 1,000 jobs with the restaurants, hotels, and other business expected to be built adjacent to the casino. The economic impact with new restaurants and other development could reach $410 million. This amounted to $7 million to $8 million annually for the city. but up to $65 million in new wages. The study also showed the casino would attract 50 to 66% of its revenue from Indiana visitors. Potential numbers discussed today have been decreased by about 40%. A riverboat casino here could mean 600 construction jobs, 600 to 800 permanent jobs, and about $5 million in annual revenue. More revenue is expected from the sales tax, liquor tax, hotel, motel, and food and beverage taxes. Cost sharing of the casino revenue discussed, 50% of the city and 50% to Danville District 118, Danville Area Community College, Danville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, and municipalities throughout Vermilion County. More Illinois gaming statistics. From September 2012 to the end of fiscal year 2016, June 2016, 23,891 video gaming terminals were in operation across Illinois, up from 20,730 in June 2015. In fiscal year 2016, video gaming machines generated $1.021 billion in net terminal income. This generated $51 million in tax revenues to local governments, up from $40 million in fiscal year 2015, and over $255 million to the Capital Projects Fund, up from $201 million in fiscal year 2015. The 23,891 video gaming terminals in operation at the end of fiscal year 2016 is the equivalent of adding nearly 20 casinos to the state of Illinois. Chicago is among roughly 45% of the state's population, which continues to ban video gaming in their communities. But even without these cities, officials believe that the number of video gaming terminals in the state will surpass 25,000 gaming terminals statewide before leveling off. The Illinois Gaming Board shows lowest and highest of the 10 casinos in Illinois. In December, 37,667 admissions and $3.5 million in adjusted gross receipts at the Alton Riverboat Casino, and 258,376 admissions and $35.29 million in adjusted gross receipts at the Des Plaines Riverboat Casino. Despite Chicago not participating in video gaming, Cook County still has the most video gaming terminals of any county in the state, with 3,856 terminals for the fiscal year 2016. As for municipalities, Springfield has had the highest amount of video gaming terminals in fiscal year 2016, with 622 terminals. Rockford ranked second, followed by Decatur and Joliet. In 2016, Alton saw 528,391 admissions and $49 million AGR, while Des Plaines saw 3.2 million admissions and $428 million AGR. According to Wagering in Illinois, report from Commissions and Government Forecasting and Accountability, gaming-related revenues from riverboat casinos fell 2.1% in fiscal year 2016. However, when combined with video gaming totals, gaming revenues as a whole actually increased 8.2% statewide in fiscal year 2016. When shown together, revenues from these two gaming formats have increased from $1.641 billion in fiscal year 2012 to $2.450 billion in fiscal year 2016, an increase of $809.2 million, or 49.3% during this four-year period. Events at VA to salute veterans, by Mary Wyckoff, February 12, 2017, Dateline Danville. The community is encouraged to reach out to veterans during the National Salute to Veterans Patients this week. A variety of events is planned beginning today at the Veterans Affairs Illiana Healthcare System. Director Stephanie A. Young said the Illiana system celebrates its veterans every day, but the National Salute is a special time to honor all of its patients. Though no one likes being a patient at any hospital, here at VAI's HCS, we always take pride and ensure our veterans are treated with the utmost care and compassion, she said. Each of us who are privileged to live in this nation has a special place in our hearts for these defenders of freedom. That is why VAIHCS takes time during the week of Valentine's Day to celebrate National Salute to Veteran Patients and to encourage our community to express affection and respect for those we admire. here are the events. Today, which was the 12th, that was Sunday, there was a 2 p.m. bingo and refreshments with the Leathernecks at the Social Activities Room. Monday, the 13th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., which would have already happened by the time you hear this, probably, coffee and pastries and Valentine's Day cards delivered to all inpatients, and musical entertainment will be provided by the state representative Chad Hayes and a guest in the SAR. Tuesday, the 14th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., special lunches will be delivered to inpatients by nutrition and food service, while inpatient veterans will be visited by VA leaders. Cards will be delivered, and there will be a musical performance by the Sweet Adelines. Also on the 14th, Tuesday, men's and women's basketball teams from Danville Area Community College will play Family Feud in the SAR at 2 p.m. Wednesday, the 15th, at 2 p.m., Celebrity Bingo will be hosted by Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower and sponsored by AmVets Post 3. Thursday, that would be the 16th, at 2 p.m., music will be performed by Mel Hoax of the SAR, followed by refreshments. A group from Hawthorne Community Living Center will attend. Friday, on the 17th, is open. This day is open to all two other groups that wish to participate. And at 2 p.m. on Friday, Sewing for Veterans groups will make a presentation of quilts to veterans. Video Gaming Machines Good for Business by Jennifer Bailey, February 12, 2017. There's a picture of Dale's Place, and Dale's Place owner Greg Felixi said Video Gaming Machines has a huge impact on his bar business. And it has signs outside that say, "Come play video slots," and other signs. Dale's Place owner Greg Felixi, F-I-L-I-C-S-K-Y, said Video Gaming Machines has a huge impact on his bar business. "It means a lot," he said. "Without the poker machines, I'd have to be here all the time. The Video Gaming Machines helps him employ people." Felixi said bar business isn't bad, but it's not what it used to be. Flixie's Bar at Fairchild and Griffin Streets in Danville is one of the busier places in the city with its video gaming terminals. Of the $429,642 played in December, $3,940,576 was won by patrons. One could win someone up to $500. More than $4 million has been paid out from the five machines in the 3 to 4 years Dale's Place has had them. Flixi said the odds of winning are higher than the older poker machines and machines on riverboat casinos. Flixi said they see a lot of regulars, and they don't see people come in and play who can't afford it to. "The machines also mean people drink and eat more," he added. "It keeps it going," he said. Flixi also supports a riverboat casino here. "It'd be a great boost and a pull to pull a lot from Indiana," he said. I think it'd be great." But he also added, "Gambling is not for everybody. In Vermilion County, 2016 saw 75 video gaming machines at 17 establishments. The wagering activity to the Illinois Gaming Board was $35 million played and $32.27 million won. Funds paid out were $7.7 million. In Tilton, the village benefits from video gaming revenue going to sewer expansions and public works and other general fund items. It saw $82,337 for its municipal share in 2016 from $20 million played and $18 million won at 25 machines at 5 establishments, according to Illinois Gaming Board. Ryan Quick has seen success with Carla's Video Gaming Cafe in Tilton, and he's opened a second location and possibly looking to expand further. A trip along Georgetown Road, south of Danville, shows how video gaming has expanded. "The markets are getting very saturated. They're popping up everywhere," Quick said, about video gaming terminals on about every corner in some communities. Quick is opening a second Carla's location in the former Gutteridge Harley-Davidson building on Georgetown Road, which he owns. He said a couple of gaming facilities asked about having video gaming terminals, and Quick said that they decided just to do it themselves. The second Carlos will be scaled down a little bit and not have a large kitchen, but more prepacked items for sale and give away to customers, Quick said. The gaming has been pretty successful. We see a lot of retired people and a lot of regulars, Quick said. He said some people like to come in and not be bothered, while others like to be pampered a little bit with free snacks and drinks. The state requires a liquor license to have the video gaming terminals. Tilton Mayor David Phillips doesn't like having to issue a liquor license along with the terminals. He said there are some people who don't like to drink. Quick said they've never run into any issue of having to limit alcohol to customers. The second Carlos location will be open the same hours, 7 a.m. to midnight. We have considered staying open later until 1 a.m., he said, adding that Tilton ordinance allows them to stay open until 3 a.m. We're not a bar, Quick said, saying that they try to offer a nice, comfortable atmosphere. We now move to the obituaries. Patricia Patty George Grider, Pauline Hughes, Phyllis Torres, Edith Hathaway, Joseph Robinson, and Louise Hargis. I'm sorry, that was Lois Hargis. Patricia Patty Ann George Grider, G-R-I-D-E-R, November 14th, 1923 to February 7th, 2017. Patricia Patty Ann George Grider went to be with her husband, Kenneth, on February 7th, 2017 at 6:49 a.m. at her home in Danville with her loving family and devoted friend by her side. Pet was born to Charles Weekly Jr. and Betty Bernice George, November 14th, 1923 in Danville, where she lived most of her life. She had a younger brother, Leo, who died as an infant, and it goes on from there. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, February 15th at Sunset Funeral Home, 3490 North Vermilion Street, Danville. And funeral services will be at 10 a.m. on Thursday, February 16th at the funeral home. Graveside services at Oak Ridge Cemetery and Catlin to follow the funeral service on Thursday, with military rites conducted by American Legion Post 210. Memorials may be made to the animal shelter, CARA, located at 609 East 5th Street in Tilton, Illinois. Pauline Hughes. Pauline Virginia Hughes, 98 of Georgetown, passed away Friday, February 10th, 2017 at 10:05 a.m. at North Logan Healthcare. She was born February 28th, 1918 in Georgetown, the daughter of David and Effie Scott Gannon. Pauline married Herschel Hughes on August 17th, 1935 in Springfield. He preceded her on August 18th, 1986. A celebration of life services for Pauline will be at 2 p.m. Monday, February 13, 2017 at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Phil Miller officiating. Visitation for family and friends will be noon to 2 p.m. prior to the service. Burial will be in Georgetown Cemetery. Memorials can be given to the Georgetown Mural Committee, 111 South Main Street in Georgetown, Illinois, 61846. Phyllis Torres, Danville. Phyllis M. Torres, 70, T-O-R-R-E-S, 70 of Danville, passed away at 9:55 p.m. CST, Friday, February 10, 2017, at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. She was born July 25, 1946, in Park County, Indiana, the daughter of Gladys Sowers Miller and Clifford Trinkle. Phyllis was a homemaker. Graveside services Wednesday, February 15th, 2017 at 1 p.m. EST at Rush Creek Cemetery east of Tangier, Indiana. There will be no visitation. Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana is assisting the family with arrangements. Edith Hathaway, E-D-Y-T-H-E, Hathaway. Edith L. Hathaway, 104, of Danville, passed away on February 10, 2017 at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville. She was born on October 27, 1912 in Danville, the daughter of Jasper and Emma Burrow Marion. She married John Hathaway on May 30, 1942 in Texas, and he preceded her in death. Edith worked for Earl Gastoff for many years and Sears Box Factory. A celebration of Edith's life will be held on Tuesday, February 14, 2017 at 11 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with Terry Goodwin officiating. Visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service. She will be laid to rest at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Joseph Robinson, Joseph Robinson, 33, of Danville, of Champaign, sorry, formerly of Chicago, passed this life on February 7, 2017, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A memorial service will commence at 11 a.m. Wednesday, February 15, 2017, at Leakin Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville. Lois Ann Hargis, April 4, 1944 to February 10, 2017. Lois Ann Hargis, 72, of Tilton, passed away on Friday, February 10, 2017, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will be Monday, February 13, 2017, that's today, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, from 4 to 7 p.m. Per her wishes, she will be cremated following the services. Lois was born on April 4, 1944, in Danville, to Coy and Opal Reynolds York. She attended Danville schools, graduating in the early 60s and going on to attend classes at DAC. Lois worked many jobs throughout the years, but more recently drove school bus for Danville and Bismarck schools. Messages and memories may be left on their website for Pape Family Funeral Home Facebook page. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Lois's name to the American Cancer Society, the Mills Cancer Institute of Urbana, or your local animal shelter. Young Scholars to Compete at DAC by Carol Rome, February 11, 2017. Dateline Danville. Student scholars from all over Vermilion County will test their knowledge Tuesday in a variety of subjects during the 39th Annual Academic Challenge Competition at Danville Area Community College. DAC math instructor Marjorie Larson is coordinating this year's competition, which has been held at the college for several years. 10 area school districts are expected to bring a total of 150 representatives from mostly their junior and senior classes to this year's competition in the Mary Miller Gymnasium. The local high schools participating include Danville, Armstrong, Bismarck, Henning, and Chrisman, Georgetown Ridge Farm, and Hoopston area, Milford, Oakwood, Salt Fork, and Westville. Each school is required to have at least 6 team members, but Larson said most schools bring 14 participants. The competition is open to all high school students, but participants are mostly juniors and seniors. This year, however, Georgetown Ridge Farm High School, which is bringing 23 students to the competition, will have 2 teams, a varsity team of juniors and seniors, and a junior varsity team of freshmen and sophomores. The Academic Challenge is a battery of tests created by the Worldwide Youth in Science and Engineering Society, WYSE. Participants are tested in 7 different academic areas, including mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology, English, engineering, graphics, and computer science. Students will start registering at 9 a.m., Larson said. The first test is at 10 a.m., and the next test is at 11 a.m. During that time, students will receive a brief orientation and take 2 40-minute tests. Teams must have at least 2 students test in each of the 3 required areas of English, math, and chemistry, and 2 students in at least 2 of the other 4 areas of biology, physics, computer science, and engineering graphics to qualify the team for team awards. DAC staff and faculty from the Math Science Health Professions Division will meet with the team coaches during the testing periods to update them and give feedback on the competition. Following the testing periods, students will be treated to a pizza lunch while test scores are finalized. Larson is pleased to continue a special feature during lunch that was started 3 years ago, in which the high school participants will meet with presidential scholars who are now DAC students and were in the top 5% of their graduating class in high school. Meeting with the presidential scholars gives the high school students the opportunity to find out what college is like. The presidential scholars are people who were in high school last year, Larson said. For some of them, they know the team members already. In addition to mingling with the presidential scholars, the high school students will be entertained by some of DAC's scaly and slithery creatures while they await their results. We'll have the whole reptile gang here, Larson said, referring to the college's bearded dragon and a 10-foot-long albino Burmese python named Junior. Last year, a lot of the kids had fun with the snake. He's a wonderful snake. A new feature at this year's event will be 6 career exploration tables manned by the head of each program. The high school students will visit the tables to learn more about the particular field and the course requirements at DAC. The career areas include sonography, echocardiography, nursing, rad tech, which is radiation, Engineering, Physics, Agriculture, and Health Information Technology. DAC also will have a table where the students can find out how to get scholarships and how to apply for classes, Larson said. During lunch, each table of students will get a bag of mystery items and they have to guess what career field it relates to, she said. The award presentation will be at approximately 12:45 p.m. with DAC President Stephen Nacko handing out the awards and Craig Potter, the Ag Club supervisor, assisting him. Team trophies will be awarded for first through third place in each division based on school size. Individual medallions will be awarded to those placed in first through third within a subject area. Everyone receives a certificate of participation, Larson said. The top two seniors that day will receive a scholarship to DAC, which entails 24 credit hours of tuition waiver that they can use any time, she said. The winners of the regional competition will continue on to sectionals held March 9th at Eastern Illinois University and then may advance to the state finals at the University of Illinois. For more information about Weiss Academic Challenge at Danville Area Community College, contact DAC's Math Science Health Professions Division office at 443-8805. Stormwater Management Public Hearing, Part of City's Meeting, Dams Agreement Up for Extension, by Jennifer Bailey, February 11, 2017. Dateline Danville. The city hasn't seen a lot of snow this winter, but heavy rains have continued to cause problems and flood streets. Tuesday night's Danville City Council Public Works Committee meeting will include a public meeting to provide input as to the adequacy of the city's stormwater management and permitting program. The public meeting is in accordance with General National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES, permit number ILR 40. Information about the stormwater program and the city's permits and stormwater program efforts can be found at www.danville-stormwater.org. Last week, when initial budget discussions started again this year, Mayor Scott Eisenhower said there is no additional money for stormwater plan improvements in the city's new 2017-2018 budget that would start May 1st. Ward 5 Alderman Mike Purr, P-U-H-R, said he might support a utility tax to pay for stormwater program. Eisenhower said that there are stormwater expenses in the general fund. Alderman approved a stormwater master plan last year that included a top 10 project prioritization of 42 projects. The estimated overall capital need for all projects is just under $25 million. The top 10 projects also have been broken down into how much funding the city would need to cover a 10-year, 15-year, or 20-year time frame for the problem areas, annual storm drainage projects, storm sewer rehabilitation, and private property program. The Cohen Creek project area, prioritized as the top project, is the only one the city has started moving forward on. The Meadowlawn area is the number two prioritized project. Also Tuesday, committee members will consider amending an intergovernmental agreement with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources for the Ellsworth Park and Danville Dam Removal and Restoration Project to extend the termination date of the original agreement. The IDNR suspended the contract in June 2015 because the state funding appropriation was not reappropriated for the state's 2016 fiscal year. The agreement states in the IDNR and the City of Danville wish to continue the project should any state fundings become available. The IDNR's funding obligation will terminate upon completion of the project, or June 30th, 2020, whichever comes first. Another thing they will be talking about is approving the $46,000 in additional engineering services by Hutchinson Engineering for engineers for the Voorhees Street Bridge project. The original contract was $202,000. The city wants to use Colette, May, and Rogers Streets as a detour route from Voorhees to Fairchild Streets for passenger cars when the bridge deck is replaced over Stony Creek near Voorhees and Colette Streets. Major fuel tax funding would pay for the work. Another thing they will be considering is reimbursing $125,000 in railroad engineering and flagging expenses for the Southview Sanitary Sewer Project to Norfolk Southern Railroad. Funding comes from the city's Sanitary Sewer Replacement Fund, Infrastructure Improvement Budget. Another thing is purchasing a hybrid robotic total station survey and related equipment from Topcon Solutions Store of Carroll Stream for $33,571. Funding comes from the City Sanitary Sewer Fund and Urban Services. The last thing is approving the disposal of surplus property for sale and scrap value. Coming up, the Danville City Council's Public Works Committee will meet at 6 p.m. Tuesday at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building, 17 West Main Street. That's it for today. This has been Karen Medina reading the Danville Area Commercial News for Monday, February 13th, 2017. Have a wonderful day.